from ESPN Milwaukee. With me, as always, from ESPN West Palm, Brian Rowitz. And you can catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. And apparently he just wants to go backstage and get a bunch of stuff signed because he also wants MJF to throw a drink on him like we saw on Sunday. I thought we were kind of talking. We thought this would be a good way to start today's show. Coming off of one of the only pay-per-views we get for AEW in Revolution over the weekend, we're fully on the road to WrestleMania, less than a month away from the grandest stage of them all. What storyline right now in professional wrestling are you guys most interested in?
Well, for me, it starts with the Bloodline because it still is continuing. The relationship with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is still interesting because at some point they will be together. And I know that we have recoiled at the fact that those two may be able to take on the Usos and win the tag team championships, but that's where it's headed. That's where it's headed right now. So nothing beats this storyline. And think about it. What's really second? If I went to AEW, bro, could you tell me what's second? Because I can't come up with a storyline. I see that stuff is starting to unfold after Revolution, but is there anything on the AEW side that's even close to the number one storyline in the WWE?
So the only thing I would throw out there, and it's really just more of the mystery, is who's next to challenge MJF? Like, he gave one hell of a performance this weekend. He showed he can go in the ring, which we already knew, but he really delivered in the ring. So to me, like, that's sort of the top AEW storyline right now, to answer that question.
To me, yes, it's still the Bloodline. The Bloodline's the only one. I have preached on this show about the way that Bloodline versus Sami Zayn, especially at the Elimination Chamber, made the mistake of making me feel things and then not delivering on those feelings. But they still make me feel things. Like and it's not necessarily betrayal, but, you know, Jay not choosing Sami. Like, that's still, it doesn't hit as hard, but it still hit hard. Like, seeing Jay being that tore up and then, you know, hitting that super kick on Sami at the end of Monday night, like, that still hits. There's still some emotion there. I would say the top storyline right now in AEW is actually probably what's going on in their women's division. It's the only continuous storyline that I think even makes sense right now with, you know, they've actually built to it where, you know, Ruby Soho is now aligned with Saraya and Toni Storm, and they're building this originals versus, outsiders that are coming in. And I'm kind of curious to see where that goes. Whereas, like, okay, Blackpool Combat Club, I guess, turned heel, and, you know, AEW's got to stop doing this crap, man.
Again, though, you might get that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got to stop having blow off type matches, and then not blowing off feuds. All right, like blood and guts, Texas death matches. Like, these are things that end feuds, not like, oh, okay, now we're going to continue these things. So AEW, I think, has a little bit of work to do. But that being said, like, outside of the Bloodline in WWE, I don't know if anything is really hitting for me right now other than the Bloodline in WWE. So I think both right now are kind of trying to figure out, outside of the Bloodline, what stories they want to tell heading to their next big events.
Well, okay, so I think in the traditional sense, that for sure, when we see Moxley in there against Hangman Page, you had these matches that is supposed to be, okay, this is going to be the end, right? This is going to be the end, right? Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't happen. Texas death match usually means whoever comes out of that, now you move on to the next thing. The territory days, you lost the Texas death match, you move on to a different territory. You go to a totally different company. But based on what we saw in Sacramento on Wednesday, it seems like there's still going to be something. If it's not going to be with Hangman Page and Moxley, something with the Dark Order and the Blackpool Combat Club, which will extend this even more so. So here's what's interesting. Just when we thought, okay, after this is going to be in, right? No more Moxley, no more Hangman Page. Now they made it interesting to me because Moxley tapped out. Well, how often do you see that? So now, to me, that puts a little bit more, another log on the fire, especially if you're going to involve the Dark Order, which I guess we have to take them seriously now. You know, all Johnny Hungy does is laugh and joke around and screw around in front of the camera. His promos, he never takes seriously. Doesn't take the business until he gets his ass whooped. So now maybe there's another level where now the Dark Order will be interesting. That's another level of a storyline that's going on, I would imagine.
But see, so in my head, I can't get past sort of the looking forward to things. So, Gabe, to your point about the AEW women's division, I think it's a great angle right now. I think there's a lot of great paths they can take. That could be blood and guts. Ruby could be the one that takes the TBS title off Jade because they haven't really developed anyone there. But I just don't have confidence in them to actually pull that off. That's how I feel about the bloodline right now. Like, that reaction when Jay hugged Sammy on Monday showed how much juice that storyline still has, but it's still just going to feel so underwhelming when it ends up just being a tag title victory for Sammy, where I saw someone on Twitter tweet this out where he says, "Hey, Hollywood, take note. I can't wait to go see a Spider-Man movie where the first 80% builds to him taking on the Green Goblin. The Goblin kicks his ass. And then it ends with Spidey beating up two of his henchmen and saying, eh, good enough." That's how this feels. And like, that is taking away from it. Like, it hurts to know that's the ending of this right now. Shout out to Trevor Dame with that tweet. So that is why the bloodline is just down a notch right now in my eyes.
Yeah, but it's still the only thing going, right? Like, it's down a notch, but it's still the best thing that. That's, and it's not even close, I don't think, in particular, even though Roman, you know, we you know, finally get Sammy, or Sammy finally get Roman and Cody in the same ring, but it's still the Sammy, it's not even that part. It's still the Sammy versus Bloodline thing that's keeping it alive. And I just still think that they're going to regret having Sammy this close to the bloodline after he lost. Like, and now, especially because you continue to intertwine, Cody comes out, makes the save on Monday after the beatdown is happening. I understand they're trying to prolong the actual makeup between KO and Sammy, and that's, they're hoping it's going to be a powerful moment despite us all seeing it coming. But man, again, the closer you keep putting Cody to Sammy, the more, at least for me, I see the difference in the storylines and how much I cared about one versus how much I care about the one they're trying to tell.
Well, the other there, you mentioned Cody. Like, that's the top of the card. Cody joins us in about 10 minutes, by the way. Like, what is the reaction going to be? Like, is it just us that are just being too into wrestling? Because the fans do seem to be behind Cody right now. But, like, I feel like Sammy and Cody need to be on separate nights at Mania. Because once Sammy comes out and they get that moment, we're going to be like, oh, whatever. But otherwise, like, the fans seem to be into Cody right now, but, like, that's not anything we even thought of mentioning just now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you thought that maybe the audience would boo Cody Rhodes. We haven't heard any of that. As a matter of fact, all the reports that we read and hear about on the house shows, that he's getting revered. As a matter of fact, just like Cena, he gives, like, there's a Rhodes bump. When, like, if he's on the card, people will start buying more tickets. I know that was in Champaign, Illinois just recently, that they knew that Cody's going to be in the card. More people walked up and got tickets just to see him. So that says a lot about who Cody is in the WWE. So, you know, it's interesting. You look around the WWE landscape, guys, and so we got the bloodline. We've been seeing this for over a year. But then I'm just thinking about, like, Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. Like, are they going to wrestle each other at WrestleMania? Is that a thing? The women's division.
So.
What about the women's division? What's going on there? Like, there's nothing really cooking where it's with Bianca Belair or with Charlotte Flair where it's like, man, you just can't wait to see them defend their championships. I mean, maybe a little Rhea Ripley, there's a story. But again, these are kind of like secondary storylines that's bubbling underneath the surface, but nothing's more powerful than what we saw here. I can't wait to see if MJF can come close to that, because after he makes Bryan Danielson tap out, then what's next for him? He's having a re-bar mitzvah coming up on
it's a big moment
next Wednesday. A re-bar mitzvah.
Huge moment next Wednesday. After not being able to, you know, be bothered to show up live after defending his, you know, championship on Sunday. Can't even be there live. The champion. Biggest moment. Oh, and we get a promo recorded from Sunday. Okay. Anyway, we can get more to that later in the show. But what? So you bring up the women's division in WWE. I want to be excited for Murder Clown Asuka versus Bianca Belair. What the hell are they doing, man? Like, what? Like, okay, we've got this match set, and they just don't know what story or how to tell it. So now we're sitting in a spot where, okay, I guess now Carmella's involved in this thing, and she's going to keep fighting everyone, and maybe Chelsea Green, and they're going to tag, and like, they're just kind of wandering in the darkness trying to get to WrestleMania for a match that I really want to see, but they don't know how to build up and give me more juice to it.
Yeah, you're watching a couple of organizations.
No, I mean, we're building towards...
Yeah. Yeah, bro. It's not, bro, so I was just going to say that you have the AEW did this into Revolution for 2 or 3 weeks. Same thing. We're just stretching to get to WrestleMania. This is why you don't see like established, locked in. I mean, their stories are building, but nothing that says, wow, I can't wait. Because that's the essence of wrestling, isn't it? I can't wait until we see this guy. I can't wait for her or him to get his comeuppance. I can't wait. We don't get that so far. But as we always say, once it's in the ring, it's going to be good. WrestleMania, once it's in the ring, for the most part, it's going to be good. Yeah.
But the path we're on right now with the women's division, like with Asuka and Bianca, like, yes, it's going to be a great match. And, you know, the rumors were floating around that Vince was backstage Monday. This is building towards Raw before Mania. Can they coexist as a tag team? You know, we've never seen something like that before. WrestleMania opponents having a team together, will they be able to survive? Like, that's the path we're going on, and that's not really selling a match.
No, it really isn't. But again, like it's certainly going to deliver, and maybe that's just what they're banking on. But I would like to see more stories starting to hit. Like, honestly, in AEW, like I am curious to see what's next for Bryan Danielson, because as good as that MJF promo was afterwards, I think Bryan's was better. You know, it leaves more doubt about, is he going to retire? You know, like, is he actually going to step away? I mean, he's not going to, clearly. But if AEW does this right and let it percolate, just let it sit there, let it simmer for a little bit, keep Bryan Danielson off of TV for a month, month and a half, 2 months, and then he comes back. Like, if he's back in 2 weeks, that promo loses everything. But if you can space it out, you might be able to make people feel something for Bryan Danielson when he returns again.
Oh, I'll make a guarantee, and I'll be glad to be wrong, but I'll make a guarantee. Bryan Danielson will be off TV. He'll be on ROH. That's when he says going home. That's where he's going. So I can guarantee you that he's going to be off TV. You'll get what you want. You'll get what you want, Gabe. But he's going home, meaning ROH. That's what I think he's going to do. But he takes time off, and then he makes a big splash. Is it late March, bro?
It's the Friday of Mania weekend. So it's the 30th, 31st, whatever.
Would not surprise me if he shows up there.
I will say, they'll get my money that night. They might get my $10 a month if that night ends with Eddie Kingston winning the ROH title, and then out comes Brian to challenge him, and that's your next angle.
Oh,
sign me up.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Gabe,
yeah.
I told this to Broitz already, but I'm going to spring this on you. I did not text you with this.
Glad you're sitting, Gabe. This is big time.
Yes.
All right.
I have a reveal.
All right, hold on. Okay, backwards hat. Now we're ready. All right, let's go. Hit me.
You may be disappointed in me, and it won't be the last time. But I am now a member of the ROH Honor Club.
What?
I know.
Wait.
I know.
I am not. All right, I would like to throw that out there. I am not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, and we've got Cody Rhodes coming up in just a matter of 2 minutes. So quickly, let's unpack, Jay Hood. What made you decide to spend the $10 a month on Honor Club? What? Yeah, he's not even ready.
Self-leave.
He's not even ready for the follow-up questions.
Yeah, I did. And I did that because I was just so curious to see what that first one would look like. I was concerned because it was last Thursday, and so I wanted to check it out. And it gave me kind of like that TNA 2006 vibe as far as the building, because it was in Orlando, and I was just like, okay, the crowd was hot, and I was just very curious. And I got one of my matches of the week based on what I saw there. So I have to admit to you, I know that usually that would be Broitz getting that Honor Club, but I raised my hand. It was me. I got
right.
Honor Club. I'm locked in. I can't wait to see Bryan Danielson. Now it's going to be worth the $10. I'll be able to see him every week, probably. Right. Him against AR Fox.
Well, yep.
There we go. And with AR Fox going over, I'm sure. naturally. That's how that goes.
Yeah.
So, okay, when we need ROH book reports, I know who to turn to. Now that has fallen onto you. You have done this to yourself. You have no one to blame but yourself, Jonathan Hood. All right, so earlier this week, you guys had the opportunity because WWE, you mentioned the house shows, and you mentioned Cody being featured on house shows. Well, Cody is going to be wrestling in my city. He's going to be wrestling in Milwaukee, not this weekend, but next weekend. Ticketmaster.com is where you can get tickets and check out the road to WrestleMania. It's going to be at Fiserv Forum. And because of that, you guys had the opportunity to, earlier this week, talk with the number one contender for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship, Cody Rhodes.
Well,
Glad that you could be with us here for Good Karma Wrestling, along with Brian Roach from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000 Chicago. Thanks so much for being with us. WrestleMania, we cannot wait. SoFi Stadium, you can be able to watch it on Peacock. It is Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship for the WWE. Cody Rhodes joins us right here on Good Karma Wrestling. Cody, it's Brian and Jonathan. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. You know, wrestling, in this wrestling and sports entertainment space, good karma is not always the first thing you think of, you know? So you guys are blazing your own trail here, right? You know, I'm gonna leave this interview in a good mood here, you know? Good karma, spreading it around. I like
it. Love it.
It's about time for professional wrestling to have a little good karma.
Right? Yeah, just a little, you know, It's funny, the nature of WrestleMania is good karma in a sense where it's where your wrestling friends all get together, I feel like. And even when I was away, I remember you're not even away because there's 85 independent shows. There's this, there's that. There's so many different events. There's WrestleCon. There's a Superstore. It's just the best time to map your week out, come together, and plus – being in Hollywood, I mean, I know we're in Inglewood, I know it, but being in Hollywood and just being on the West Coast Mania is, I'm sure you guys have some experience, West Coast Mania got a different vibe to it, you know? Sun's just going down. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Cody, here's something that no one's asked you all day today. How are you, your work-life balance? Have you been able to breathe yet? How do you feel?
I feel exceptional. The biggest thing for me is I haven't necessarily been able to breathe, and I knew I would not be able to. So I have a legal pad, like a yellow legal pad that just is a scratch of all my calendar.
Yep.
And I just try the best I can to get everything in. There it is. The biggest thing is, you know, it sits on my bus, and I haven't really left my bus. Because we were in Syracuse Saturday and then Sunday Trenton, coming to TV here today, in Boston today. But I got to make sure it's great to do all these shows. You got to make sure you do everything to get yourself ready. And a big thing for me is I came into the Royal Rumble at 8.6% body fat. Tights barely even fit. Poor Sandra thought I was still big, you know? And and I really want to maintain that. That's something like the whole – I really got into a great training program, a great regimen. I'm trying to maintain that while also doing these live events. I just want to show up at WrestleMania in that kind of Rocky 3, Rocky 4, like the best shape you could possibly – hell, Rocky 2, the best shape you could possibly be in, because it's very much physically being in there with someone like Roman is a totally new experience. We haven't touched – really ever. I don't count the stuff we did prior because he was a different guy and I'm a different guy. So being prepared for him as someone who's always in great conditioning, that's the area where I've had to try and make everything work and navigate, you know, just to get there and deliver the goods for fans.
We hear you talk about it from undesirable to undeniable to be in the main event of WrestleMania. What does that phrase mean to you when you look back on even the last decade of your wrestling career?
I think, selfishly, I think, you know, a question that a lot of people ask is, well, I wonder if people will follow him from perhaps AEW. I wonder if they'll follow. And that's, I don't really, the way I kind of look at it is I don't think anyone can necessarily follow the path exactly because my story was so ridiculously all over the road, unique. And there was a point in it where it was absolutely out of the cards. Like out of the question that this could be a thing that was happening. I mean, at 20 something years old, I would have been so arrogant and so just bragger and bold. And all I keep thinking now is just, I am beyond lucky, beyond blessed. Yeah, we worked really hard. And I say we, because it was a great amount of people. And I shared my career with so many people, including a wonderful independent fan base that's followed me, a fan base that's welcomed me back. We worked so hard, but also we're so lucky to be here. But truly anyone, I think a lot about wrestlers when I say undesirable to undeniable, because wrestlers get so down on themselves about there's no way I can come back from this. There's no way. If you are watching what's currently happening, there's a way. it's called hard work, but it's also a great amount of luck finding the right people. And also probably the biggest thing is being bold, knowing when to roll the dice, right? That more than anything, I was trying to explain that to Roman the other night on SmackDown. More than anything, that's what I do, man. When someone says, oh, this can't be done, we're going all in. Here's the full bet. Like, I've been very lucky with my gambles, and hopefully WrestleMania is the biggest payoff of all time.
Cody, you've been able to talk to people in the back at AEW and independents, and probably in the WWE. I mean, as a seasoned veteran, who do you turn to for big moments like this, big life moments like this? Who do you turn to for advice?
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to give him credit, but I am. Yeah, so do you guys have those friends that just don't know how to text message, that they have to talk on the phone? Right, so DDP is one of those who has to talk in person. Hmm. And he invited me over recently, and I remember it was such a pain to get there. You know, I got a baby, I'm barely home, such a pain to get here. But when I got there and sat down with him, I instantly realized how grateful and important he is to me, because, you know, it's the same reason Arn and I were really close prior. I don't have Dusty, right? And, I have a DDP, I have an Arn Anderson, someone like a Ric Flair. These people were close and connected and experienced it. So Dallas is somebody that I've gone to talk about things, not to say, here's what I think is going to happen, or what do you think is going to happen, or not to speculate on the moment, but more to just look at the moment and go, wow, this is let's enjoy the next 20 something days, because this is absurd. And he actually has opened up his studio to me, to where I do all my media from the studio, because I refuse to do it in the passenger seat of my car. It's just, he's been very special to me, and I don't like giving him credit, but he deserves all the credit in the world. He's very much was like a surrogate uncle, and he's definitely stepped into that role in a big way.
On the flip side of that, how proud does it make you, some of the guys and girls that you give to, the Ricky Starks of the world, the Julia Harts, the Matt Cardonas, these guys and girls creating their own path now in the world of pro wrestling? How proud does that make you?
Well, I'm very proud of Julia, because Julia came from the Nightmare Factory camps. So that's like the question that anybody's going to ask. Hey, how's your school? Has anyone done anything? And we can name a few people who had experience already, but really she came from camp two, did the thing with the Varsity Blondes, but she just took advantage of every opportunity she found. She was just hitting home runs and even maximizing her minutes, and even small segments, big segments, whatever it might be. Just very proud. I keep an eye on her and Lee from a distance. You give to them. And one thing I've learned as a coach and stuff, and even in my role as in management, give without expecting anything back. There are people who I hired and my wife hired that don't even remember us anymore, and that's okay. It's a, you know, you give without giving, you know, expecting to get back. I don't want to for one second though put over Matt Cardona, because Matt Cardona is him and QT basically wrestle for my number one friend spot. Okay. But QT is emotionally, and I'm not afraid to talk about this, QT is emotionally available there. He's there to talk about real things. Cardona is so into his world, and I feel like he has blown me off on like three different park visits and stuff like that, to the point where he's about to get dropped way down.
Wow.
Like, he might even get out of the circle. Like, below Aaron Solo, out of the circle, just because – I'm really proud of him. He's out there. He's doing the Indie God thing with the Indiana Jones hats. Is everything Matt's doing. Matt has been the king of the Indies now. This is going on year two. You only usually get one run in that role, you know? Like, he's going on year two. What Matt does next is going to be huge. If he goes to AEW, that'd be cool. But if he comes back to WWE, that's what I want. It would be off the charts. I think he's a huge get, a huge free agent. He's the best he's ever been. But he's really pissed me off. He's not. I have no good karma with Matt Cardona at the moment. And
Jay Hill, we might need to help Cody out. We've had Matt on this show. We talked about Splash Mountain, so we might need to help you out a little bit.
He did this interview with Bill After recently, where he buried me. And I have this story about Matt, which I'm going to tell eventually about watching his first meeting with a certain member of management somewhere, how he tanked this meeting right in front of me. And then one big line he hit in the meeting that I'll never forget. This is one of my real life friends. He said, "I just want to make it clear. I'm never putting on a Nightmare Family jacket or associating myself with him on screen."
What?
I got you the meeting. Why? Why did you just under the bus right away? So, and then he said some other things that I'll save for the story in a more long form setting. But I love Matt Cardona. I'm greatly irritated with him at the moment.
The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, will be taking on Roman Reigns again at WrestleMania. Watch it live on Peacock. Two nights of great action from SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Cody, what was the reason why? Maybe you've heard this over the years. Why Dustin or why Dusty did not get a chance to be able to win the WWE Championship at some point in their careers?
One of the coolest things happening, and I keep almost forgetting it, is Sunday before WrestleMania, Superstar Sunday on A&E, is the Dusty Rhodes documentary is coming out. And as the executive producer on the documentary, one of my favorite parts of it is some of the luminary figures from the 70s and 80s, WWWF, and then the WWF, tell us ultimately what would happen and what went down. And it's a story that when the father tells the son, you don't believe it because it sounds like a tall tale. To hear it repeated by the likes of a Hulk Hogan or a Bruce Pritchard, I'm very excited. I don't want to give it all away, but I'm very excited for fans to see how the documentary is approached in terms of his lasting impact. I mean, you're seeing his impact right in front of you at WrestleMania with the fabled Dusty's kids. All of them are in major matches. One of them is my opponent in the biggest match of the event. I think people will be really impressed with the things he did that they don't know about. And the things he did that they do know about are impressive enough, but very much looking forward to people seeing the documentary. As far as Chicken's concerned, my brother Dustin, I think I had the benefit and luxury of I came after Dusty had moved on in the industry. I think Dustin probably had much harder of a battle. You know, I was almost a novelty being so much younger, 16 years younger than Dustin. Dad was 39 when he had me. I think he just had to fight something that is probably insurmountable. Very proud of him. Like you said, Hall of Fame career, still going. You know, it's one of those things where I know he said he doesn't feel like he has much time left, but I don't see him slowing down either. So I'm very curious where Dustin ends up. And I think about Dustin very often heading into this just because he's the family I have, you know.
When you talk about, obviously, the impact Dusty had on your career, everyone knows about that. Who were some of the other wrestlers when you were coming up, turning into the pro wrestler you are today, that either their matches or even just real interactions with them, you say, okay, this is someone that turned me into who I am today?
I mean, are we talking like a peer level or are we talking someone
else? I think when you were younger, like coming up, like obviously Dusty's there, but if you're going to go somewhere else, some of those guys.
Well, my guy was Shawn Michaels. And I say that because Shawn was a journey in a sense that from the Rockers, hey, Greg's here. Greg's coming in. Greg, what are you doing? Greg, get in here. Hey, Greg. All right, so Shawn Michaels, he was one because Shawn, the Rockers happened, of course, and then the whole sexy boy persona, him and Sherry, and then everything. But then also going to a full WrestleMania where he didn't win the championship to then go to WrestleMania 12 where it takes an hour plus to win the championship. He was someone I liked as a kid a great deal. He just captivated me. Him and Sting were my guys. They captivated me. But I loved it as I got into the business because you watched his journey. You watched his journey, and it gave you hope for, like I was talking about other wrestlers, when you think you're down, you're just a tag team guy or you're just a setup guy, you find yourself in this position if you do the work. Shawn being one. Sting, of course, my favorite being a WCW kid. The Steiners, of course. And then as I got a little bit more right before I busted in that teenage scene, Eddie Guerrero, another one where what a long journey to get to the Cow Palace, to get to that moment that he had with Brock Lesnar. And that's one that I think about a lot lately because, again, it's one that you wouldn't have seen coming. But then when you saw it, it made all the sense in the world.
I heard that there was a shake at the stick out west in San Francisco. You hear any rumblings?
Wait, what happened? What happened?
There's a big show that took place in San Francisco. I was wondering your thoughts on it.
I didn't. I only saw some highlights from Ricky. I had a pirated feed, which I probably should have just figured out how to get a right feed. I'm not going to tell you, Simi. I thought Ricky did great. I was very proud of him. You know, Chris Jericho is an absolute legend. As he's more than a legend, he's Chris Jericho. And for Ricky to be able to deal with that and handle that in the way he did, very proud of Ricky. Very proud of Julia, of course, just seeing her. Proud of Malachi, actually, because he was somebody that I loved our interaction with. And then I wanted to see more of that Malachi, and it's been a minute. So to see him deliver. FTR guys, I saw. And then all my other kids. I ain't going to name them because I ain't going to put them over. But all my other kids who, you know, one of them is out there in the main events, and it's great. We don't have to be best friends or anything, but just very proud of their growth and their continued growth.
I know, we knew that you were a fan, but Brian, he's like us. A
pirate. I know.
His own private link.
Well, it's way. Listen, one of the benefits of working for WWE is like, oh, it's on Peacock. You go on Peacock, it's right there.
Right.
Right. Anywhere else I've wrestled, whether it's New Japan, anywhere else, these interfaces are a disaster. They're a disaster, guys. And like, I love every, like, Fight TV. I'm all right. I like Fight TV. That one, at least they got some of the, like, but come on. Right. Clearly you're tuning in a streaming fashion today.
We've talked about it a lot with TV. You mentioned New Japan. Like, I'm pretty sure we've signed up for the Dojo somehow and trying to watch some of their shows. So here we are today.
They take $10 from me like every week, and I don't remember what I signed up for. So, but hey, whatever. Everyone's learning. We're growing as, you know, WrestleMania is the biggest numbers-wise, metrics-wise that it's ever been. That just brings up the whole business, and I'm beyond blessed that I get to be in that position.
We've seen it on social media. We've seen people get in trouble sometimes at house shows for the too sweet gesture. You at a house show, yourself, the Good Brothers, and a fan dressed as your father. We shouldn't expect any backlash from that, right? You're going to be okay from that's too sweet?
I think I'll be fine. The Mike, the Dusty impersonator, often sometimes can be, it's wonderful and a blessing, but often sometimes can be a little bit of a nuisance because the crowd is like going nuts over him. And I kept kind of like joking, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I'll see him out there. And then, of course, I decide, you know what, come in the ring. Why not? Make a whole big deal out of it. So it ended up a great guy who actually – part of the Dusty doc. I don't know if it'll make the final doc, but he has a really unique story, not unlike my father's. So it's great to see like the fandom continue and people take the photos with them and stuff. I love it.
Let's play match game. I don't have the pencil mic like Gene Rayburn, but I can at least ask the question. So Cody, Roman Reigns as a performer is blank.
Roman Reigns as a performer is elite.
What makes him elite to you?
I think as far as the big things that you need for this in terms of presentation, in terms of conditioning, in terms of poise, I almost want to go back and say Roman Reigns is a superstar. The term superstar is often uniquely used because it's how WWE wrestlers are described, and I do understand. But Roman's the one that makes it clear what the distinction is. Roman's the one that makes it clear, he is a wrestler, sure, a really great wrestler, but he's also on Jimmy Fallon. He's also able to do all these things that he's able to do in a way that represents an entire brand that is a multi-billion dollar worldwide industry. He can't just be a wrestler. And he's the one that makes the distinction for me as what an actual superstar is. When you see him come out and you see how kids look at him and the bloodline gauntlet and the respect they have for him, that's really him more than anybody else.
Cody, as always, we appreciate your time. Again, WrestleMania will take place on Peacock. Again, a two-night event, SoFi Stadium. Again, the main event, Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Championship. As always, good luck to you. We're Rhodes stands, so we're right behind you, Cody. Let's get this done.
Thank you. I just got yelled at on my phone while we were talking by somebody who told me I needed to be by ringside. So I hope they know I'm doing this. I'm doing this media, and I'm doing it with Good Karma Wrestling, so they can wait.
There you go.
Greg. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great interview with Cody Rhodes here on GKW. By the way, again, they are going to be here in Milwaukee, Road to WrestleMania, not this Saturday, the following Saturday, Ticketmaster.com. Or if you want, you can buy them at Fiserv Forum as well. Before we get to number two in our three count, your guys' thoughts on the interview.
Well, first of all, with honesty, Broitz, I forgot to promote the Milwaukee part of that because what I saw, honest to God, and I'm sorry, Gabe, and I know that was a setup. All I saw was the main event at WrestleMania and X-Star saw stars in my eyes. I forgot. Thank God you're here because yeah. I'm not going to put it on him. I'll put it on me. All I saw was, oh, my God, we got the main event at WrestleMania. But Cody. What?
I forgot about it also until Gabe mentioned it leading in. I was like, oh, that's right. That is what we were promoting. So, yeah, go check them out in Milwaukee. Go see Cody. Thanks, Gabe.
So, but you weren't here to steer the ship. So all you got your two jackaloon, co-hosts, and all we saw was the main event. Like, Cody, how are you? What's so many on Peacock? So we're sorry.
I will say though, like David pointed out, like Cody's such a legit wrestling fan. Like the pirated feeds, like come on, Cody, you can afford that. Like the fact that he's bringing up AEW.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Thing. You're right, telling me that WWE didn't give him a big fat contract to come over? He's pirating feeds?
He's one of us, man. Right?
Doesn't know how to cancel New Japan World. It's everything. Like
he's you. He can't cancel it either. Wow. So I thought the conversation was great because he was relaxed, even though he had a ton of stuff to do, I'm sure, for that Raw. That night, but he spent time with us while he was in Boston. And I think that he enjoyed the conversation as well, only because we wanted to kind of talk about like what he's going through, like the work-life balance with Brandy and the new baby on one side, who Roman Reigns is, you know, who's his influence. His dad's passed away. So, you know, he's been a mentor for so many in AEW and in the Indies. So who does he turn to? And we found out it's Dallas Page. And so those are the kind of things that we want to know about Cody, just like underneath the suit.
But that's the most endearing thing to me about Cody. What makes Cody relatable is he is one of us. Like his knowledge of the past and wanting to. So I remember at All In, the first, you know, that when they got the 10,000 people in Chicago and I was at that show, like he won the NWA championship on a roll-up. Like it was something more old school. Like it was an old school match, clearly a tribute to old school NWA, to his dad. And he always like has those things in mind. And he's just a pro wrestling fan. Like so many times you get, and we've had them. It's not a bad thing. It's understandable. So many times when we've talked to somebody from WWE, that's all they're going to talk about. But he is very obviously paying attention to so many other things in the pro wrestling world because he's a pro wrestling fan. And that's what makes him endearing to us. He's not afraid to say, you know, he was allowed to when he came back. It's part of his entrance. There's more than one royal family in professional wrestling. That's how it starts. You know, that's how it starts. And he's used some of those terms that we thought were banned by Vince. And he's, because he's a professional wrestler, and he just kind of endears himself to at least that part of the fan base.
Yeah, and I think that's why he hasn't gone the Cena route yet. Like, he's a Cena-esque babyface. Like, what he's going to go out there and rah-rah and mention the crowd name. But those little things where, like, us as wrestling fans knowing that stuff, older wrestling fans knowing the Dusty connection, he's doing those things to still not get that heat just yet. It might turn a month from now, but as of now, I think they're doing everything right with his character.
Yeah. If you happen to miss any of that interview, you can either watch back one of the links wherever you watch GKW through the Good Karma Brand's social media feeds, or, of course, you can just download Good Karma Wrestling, listen back on the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Brian, what do we have at number two on the three count?
Well, that moment Cody had to go out to Raw for was a little hand-me-down and a little hug from one John Cena. Cena then cuts a promo on Austin Theory, accepts his challenge for WrestleMania. Been a lot of buzz about that Cena promo. How would you guys grade the Cena promo from Monday?
I mean, it was a great promo, right? Like in terms of the delivery, in terms of the message, I was feeling, because he's John Cena. He's one of the best on the mic of all time. That's just the way it is. That's part of John Cena. But it is controversial in the fact that the more I sit here and the more I watch it back and the more I think about that promo, what exactly did it accomplish other than to absolutely and utterly bury Austin Theory?
Well, here's what you're supposed to do. In that situation, it's supposed to be a compliment sandwich, right? That's what it's supposed to be, a compliment sandwich. And we didn't get that from Cena. Cena buried Austin Theory, which is what we normally hear about Cena, right? Burying opponents, whether that's true or not in his career. Like, once you take on Cena, your career's done. And whether that's true or not, I mean, I think that's beside the point, but what endearing thing
did Matt Cardona? Excuse me. I'm sorry. I just had.
Exactly.
Bless you. Oh,
thank you.
You keep going on that list, by the way. You keep going on that list. Dolph Ziggler. So I would just say that what did that do for Austin Theory? I mean, because here's why, bro. It's everything Cena said from my standpoint and from the show standpoint is true.
The truth.
Every bit of it. Yeah, so go ahead.
Nothing. That did nothing for Theory. And like we've talked about him a lot on the show, like the stupid cash-in. They were starting to build him back up. And then you mentioned that they pipe in crowd noise. Oh. Like, as good as Cena was, like, who wins from that promo? Like, Monday after Mania comes, like, there's no one moving forward. Like, yes, we assume Theory's going to win at Mania, but that did nothing for him. And the one thing I kept thinking back to, because I've mentioned him a lot on the show, is Karrion Kross when Adam Cole did that to him. It's on NXT, and Adam Cole is no John Cena, but he completely cut the legs out from under.
It's what you mentioned, Hood, right? Like, usually when you go after your opponent like that, you have the compliment sandwich. That's what you have to have. You know, you gotta have a little something where you're at least giving him credit. And the only time he kind of gave him credit was like, oh, I've been in those shoes before where I've kind of been lost, you know, and he mentions the ruthless aggression John Cena, the one that initially came out, and as he mentioned, that almost got him fired because he just didn't have a direction. And that's kind of where Austin Theory is. Like, but this to me doesn't give Austin Theory a direction. Like, I don't know how Austin Theory comes back from that promo. I just don't know how he does it.
It's an A- for me because of how well executed John Cena had it. The minus only is, what did you do for the young guy? When you go back to Hollywood a week after WrestleMania, Austin Theory is still going to be there floundering with his reverse chin lock and where a guy's got to be able to fight from underneath. Kane, it's got to be Kane on YouTube, says Theory went to cry in his car after that Cena promo. Probably did because, like, okay, if you're Theory, you're like, okay, great. I'm in the ring on a big stage with John Cena. And so my prediction still is, and we're a few weeks out, I still think that Cena wins at the WrestleMania and Jay White comes in from the side door the next week and then beats Cena. That's what I say. But still, if you're Theory, you're standing there and you're taking it. It reminded me a little bit. There's some vibes of Rock Cena with that, where The Rock had some notes in his wristband, if you remember this, their matchup at WrestleMania, because Rock didn't have it, of all people, didn't have the gift to gab. And Cena was like, yeah, don't forget your notes right there on your wristband. I mean, it was personal.
Yeah, but those two were elite level. Like, no one's going to get squashed from that. Like, Theory, if you told me WrestleMania next year in Philadelphia, Theory no longer works there, I don't think that's crazy at this point. Because, like, Cena even cut out, like, from the match, him saying, like, oh, if you beat me, you beat a part-timer, and the Raw after Mania crowd's going to eat you alive. Like, yeah, that's going to happen now. And then after that, it's going to be silence. Like, there's nowhere for Theory to go after this. And that's why, like, I say it's a B, because as good as Cena was, it was just so damn bad for Theory.
What if, Inception style, this is what Hunter wanted, because Vince was always, you know, like, Austin Theory was always a Vince guy, and all these rumors are out there about Vince coming back. Hunter's like, oh, I'll show you guys. Remember Austin Theory, that Vince guy? My buddy John Cena's going to go out and just absolutely just bury him live on television.
Boy, the mustachioed Vince McMahon probably didn't like that promo.
We didn't like that thing, but you know
well,
what?
But Cena's like his one guy. Like, Cena's the only one that's been, like, spotted having dinner with Vince out in, like, public since all the things with Vince went down. That's got to be conflicting for Vince. This is a big conflict.
It's a great point, Gabe, by Soul Brother Number 5 on YouTube when he says, let's not forget when Cena almost killed Roman Reigns on the mic when he said that he was giving him a problem. Yeah, I still
Roman's on the up. Like, theory, they had to build him back up. Like, that's been one of the best things Hunter's done is build him back up from that terrible Money in the Bank. And he was. Like, no, he's not this top-notch heel. But, like, there's just no more building now.
Well, how about this, Gabe? How about that Austin Theory beats Cena? And no matter what Cena says, this could be Austin Theory's MJF moment. Because all three of us thought that MJF would win in that 60-man Iron Man match of Revolution. We just weren't sure how. It was a classic, which we'll get into a little bit later on. But just the idea that MJF won, and now he's going to be parading around like, yeah, I beat, quote-unquote, the best in the world. Austin Theory can come back on Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania and says, I beat John Cena. But he can be on that no matter what Cena says. If he beats Cena 1-2-3, it's like at least that's a notch on his belt. He can go around with that and still be hated because he has go away heat right now. He does.
Sure. But like Fandango beat Chris Jericho at a WrestleMania 2. Like, you can have that WrestleMania moment. Cool. But what do you actually do with it? And I think that was the larger point of the Cena promo. Like, yeah, sure. You can beat me. You can put that notch on your belt. It's not going to matter because you can't do anything with that win anyway. Like, that's how little you matter. That you could beat 16-time world champion John Cena, the guy that everyone in WWE programming is trying to make the GOAT of professional wrestling, the guy that WWE props up themselves as their greatest champion of all time. And if Theory beats you, it still doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because Austin Theory has proven to us that he can't do anything with it.
Okay.
JR, what if he beats him with the reverse chin lock, though? Does that help things? Locks it in and then the arms go down?
Well, you know what? That'd be better than his finish because it's the worst finish. His finish is the shits. It's the worst in professional wrestling. When it hits, it's like it's as bad as when the Guns win a match. That's how bad it is. Like, the air comes out of the room like, oh. And just that's what it feels like. That's but okay. So let's fix him then. Okay, we know the problem is that he's got go away heat. Comes out there very mechanical in the Vince era way of doing a promo. So how do you fix Austin Theory? I mean, it's a young talent. What do we always say? We want something new in the business, right? Something new on Raw, something new. All right. So how do we fix him?
But he's not new. He's the Raquel,
He is new. What do you mean? He's been around for 2 years. What do you mean he's not new?
No, but his character's not new. Like, he's just generic heel in sunglasses. Like, he's the exact same thing as Raquel Rodriguez. Like, why should I care about smiley babyface Raquel because she can, like, flex? It's the same thing for him. Like, why do I care? Just because he has a punchable face that now all of a sudden he should be like... I don't have a reason to care about Austin Theory in the same way I don't have a way to care about Raquel, despite them wanting to push both of them. Like, give me something. Give me more depth of character. Give me something to grab onto instead of just being shallow babyface who can flex and smile or smarmy heel who wears sunglasses and runs away from fights.
So what is it like taking from all this and like, is he a sympathetic babyface? Like, hey, everyone's like almost that Miz-like route. Like, oh, no one accepted me. Like, he takes the loss at Mania. Like, John Cena came out and tried to end my career and then, like, slowly build it back up again. Like, the way we've seen him built back up the last few months, build it back up again until next year's Mania.
God, that's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. He comes across cocky, looks great, but just like... Again, I'm not sure how now back in the day, like under Bruce Pritchard, when he was really working with characters a lot, like he would have gave him a whole new persona, different character, a whole new coat of paint. I'm not sure what he needs. I just know that what I see is what I saw under Vince. And that is what Gabe just laid out. Gabe just laid out the whole LinkedIn resume of this young man. Smarmy heel. He's got sunglasses on in the ring and has the mechanical way of being able to do a promo. It's very inflexible. His style is very inflexible to me.
You got to find a way to connect with the audience, and he just hasn't.
Well, you mentioned those fresh coats of paint that we used to see a lot in the 90s and 2000s where they'd be different characters.
Yeah, see, put him on, make him a baseball player, make him Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
We're seeing it with Baron Corbin, and now nothing's connecting. Like, is he going down that path? Like, Corbin's the one guy that is in current WWE that you've seen go through five different character versions. That doesn't happen anymore.
They brought in JBL. And right. That didn't even work for Corbin.
They're trying. I mean, Corbin's about to be a male model. I mean, honest to God, man. Like, they've gone to the. I mean, and by the way, Corbin can work for a big guy.
Absolutely. Just like,
but it's like.
They haven't had a plumber in the wild. Let's just do that for theory.
I hope Bruce Pritchard isn't listening.
What about an electrician? Like, just going to start naming the trades? Like, geez.
Bruce will do that right away. Hey, I got an idea for you. Like the whole common man thing, we're going to put a drill in your hand. You're going to be an electrician. Then we're going to do that. We're going to start some vignettes. Let's go. Let's go to Hartford, Connecticut and film some stuff. Like, no. No.
And a bunch of vignettes just talking about the word shocking, like puns regarding that stuff. It'd be perfect.
Oh, man. I mean, we need to come up with our top five guys are just stuck. I mean, like, I can't even tell you, like, you know, Baron Corbin, guys, if he was in AEW, it'd be the same thing.
Right.
Like, it's Austin Theory.
Well,
some of the comments
are saying put him to NXT 2.0, but, like, I didn't see someone mentioned Grayson Waller's there. Like, you can't even do that. Like, I don't think that helps at this point.
Yeah, that's a great list, and I think we should come up with that next week. Our top five guys who are just – guys or gals who are just stuck. Just stuck. I mean, we may have to do six because I think number one clearly is Baron Corbin. And I do – again, I feel for the guy because, you know, I think there could be something there, but, like, everything they try just falls flat on its face.
Sad.
Yeah.
Number three, Brian.
Sunday night for San Francisco is AEW Revolution, ending with MJF retaining the AEW World title. What do you guys want to see from AEW after Revolution?
How in the world can you?
What's the matter?
So they put on a banger of a main event on Sunday. Fantastic match. Tremendous. You know, like match of the year type of match, right? Like when we do get to the end of the year, that match, the Iron Man match, is going to be on the short list of what we're talking about in terms of match of the year. And we can't get MJF on television? How is MJF at his next angle not closing out the show? Instead, we have QT Marshall closing out the show on Dynamite last night. What are we doing? Like, I just don't understand.
You don't remember their interactions that everyone talked about?
Yeah, I completely forgot. Completely forgot that QT Marshall's word is his bond when it comes to Powerhouse Hobbs.
When I think of word is bond, I don't think QT Marshall, but that's exactly what that was. That's what I said. That's what I got. Yeah. Where's that complaint about Roman? Where's that complaint about Roman after Elimination Chamber? Where is it?
The bloodline is still present. Bloodline still was there, and that's the beauty of the bloodline storyline is that you can take the main character and float him in and out because he has negotiated that part-time schedule, but he has a presence. Whether it's Paul Heyman getting off his phone and going, "Hey, if you don't figure this stuff out with your brother, the tribal chief is going to blame you." Because they've built it around a cast of characters, you don't need the main character there all the time. Now, it's certainly enhanced when he is. But when you're just the lone wolf, you're the devil. You got to be there you got to be there on Wednesday night. They have to have something other than a promo that was cut after the match on Sunday. You have to do something. If this is going to be your guy that you're propping up, he has to be featured on television that next show. Has to happen. It's inexcusable that it didn't.
Well, you're going to have to realize that AEW is keeping MJF special, just like Roman's being kept special on WWE TV. Well, that's right or wrong. That's what they're doing.
Sure.
Now, to me, now again, old school me says that yes, he should have been in Sacramento on Wednesday. Sacramento Wednesday or next Wednesday in Winnipeg. I would say, how about both? How about that?
Yeah.
If you got to pick one, it would be right after the pay-per-view you had on Sunday. That's just for me. But it's okay, because now that builds anticipation. Because I'm going to see what this is going to be like on Wednesday. And then who comes after him next Wednesday? I'm interested in finding out. Yeah, did I want to see him Wednesday in Sacramento? Yes. But you know what? Now I can't wait to see who comes after him next, because that should tell the sign of who's going to be in line for the next championship for Double or Nothing.
I mean, yeah, you ran down a list. With them.
Yeah, so if you look at this show, like, I'm most interested in, can they stick with their guns? They made a sort of statement on Sunday. MJF, Ricky Starks, Jungle Boy, Jamie Hayter, like, their young guys and girls got wins over the ex-WWE guys. The numbers haven't quite backed it up. Another, 800,000 last night on Dynamite. Will they stick with those young guys moving forward, or are they going to, panic and all of a sudden bail somewhere?
Yeah, let's go through that list again, because that's the thing that stood out to me. Because if you're an AEW fan, you got Jericho who lost, you got Danielson who tapped out, you got John Moxley who tapped out.
Christian lost to Jungle Boy.
Christian lost to Jungle Boy. He's buried. His career's buried.
Uh-huh. Ruby and Soraya lost to Jamie Hayter. The Elite lost to House of Black.
Yes. So I'll take it, because I think, and I don't know what AEW considers revolution. I don't know. Is this their WrestleMania? Is this their Backlash? No. Is this their Survivor Series? I don't know what – well, seriously, I don't know what it – but it, to me, it was a big enough event to draw a line and say, okay, now the AEW stars are going to shine. And I think that that's best for the company. Like, you were built all the way up to this with ex-WWE people and veterans. Now, here's the young guys. Here you go, Jungle Boy. Here you go, Ricky Starks. Here are your people. Now, you're going to root for them? You're going to pay a ticket? You're going to go watch him? I think that's why this year is going to be very intriguing for AEW. That's for sure.
Yeah. In terms of what do I want to see out of AEW? I am very curious about the MJF thing.
FTR.
But the best thing, FTR. Like, I'm curious to see what happens with FTR. And I know Dax went on his podcast and kind of denied, but also didn't really deny that they had signed contract.
Oh no,
extensions?
He definitely denied. He said nothing has changed.
Yeah, but then he like changed it, and he's like, "Well, even if I were to say, that we did, people are not going to believe it. Believe whatever you want." He like kind of backtracked on it a little bit later in the podcast.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what's happening there.
Pretty adamant, nothing's changed. He said Tony called him 5 days before because he thinks Tony saw the headline that Dax said on his podcast, "Hey, we still want to work." Which I don't get how that's communication, how that works, but whatever, at least we got FTR back. So, like, yeah, what do they do with them? Like, but AEW has been so up and down with their booking. The one thing I feel like the one act they've sort of been consistent with is the Acclaimed, and that's even losing some steam a little bit. I just worry about a Starks or a Jungle Boy, like, hey, Sunday was great. We'll see you in a month. Like, keep it going.
Well, I would agree with that, because if you're going to elevate them and win on your pay-per-view, then those guys should be featured more in meaningful storylines to lead them to championships. So I totally agree with that. I don't know, guys. It feels like it's not Ruthless Aggression, but it feels like the Heyman-led SmackDown team where, 2000, 2001, that's in that era. That's what it feels like, where it's bubbling into something pretty special. As far as FTR is concerned, so I'm just going to tell you that Dax Harwood is a worker. And I don't mean in the ring. I mean with the press. I don't believe anything he says as far as the contract status. No, I'm sure he's going to be a guest in the show at some point this year. But I know he's working us because, he loves to talk. He's got a podcast now.
He's old school. He's old school, man. Yeah, kayfabe's a thing.
I think he's sandbagging us, because otherwise, why would FTR just be rushed onto television? They're on the pay-per-view at the end, which saved the whole thing. As soon as the Guns won, all I know is that Danhausen had the crowd going. The crowd was behind Danhausen. And as soon as the Guns won the match, he was like, yay, one, two, do-do-do-do-do. And then the song came on, and then the crowd was completely out of it when they found out the Guns won. But why did FTR show up? Because I think that they're going to stay with AEW. That's what I believe. I think there might be something signed that we just don't know about yet. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think so. They ultimately stay with AEW. By the way, the only thing worse than that would have been Jeff Jarrett winning the tag team championships with Jay Lethal. Clearly would have been worse than the Guns. It's the only thing that could be worse than the Guns.
Tell them, bro. Tell them.
Do you want to go to news and notes? I got something for you.
No, wait. But yeah.
It's related.
I know where you're going.
All right, so AEW title news. The AEW All-Atlantic title is no more because it's now the AEW International title. And next week in Canada, Orange Cassidy defending against the new AEW International champion, Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
He's winning that title.
100%.
No.
Yep. You want to bet?
No. Can't do it. Don't do it to me, Tony. I won't show up on Thursday. I swear to God. What are we doing with Double J? What are we doing?
Somebody
explain it to me like I'm five.
I don't want to actually do the research, but is there anyone this year that's been on TV more than Jarrett?
Oh, I think he's been on every show.
He's on every show every week, both shows.
Why is that, Gabe? Come on now. Come on. Wrestling 101. Why is Jeff Jarrett on your TV? Because he pisses you off and there's heat, brother. Because there's heat.
That's bad. Like, it's not like it's go away heat. It's get you off my television. I want to change the channel heat. All right.
A-Town down, Jeff Jarrett. Which one? Who you want to see on TV more?
A-Town down.
Oh, really?
And it's not even close. Every week.
Okay, really?
Yes.
You want to see Austin Theory more so than Jeff Jarrett on your TV?
Yes. Wow. I would watch 3 hours of him doing A-Town Down on 17,000 different people rather than watch Jeff Jarrett win a championship in the year of our Lord 2023.
He's winning that title.
Yep.
Because otherwise, this will be his first singles match in AEW, as far as Dynamite, right? It has to be. Yeah.
He's been tagged with Lethal. Stuff.
He's been in tags with Lethal. He's winning that title in Winnipeg. He is.
Wednesday night, Dynamite. Tune in.
It's going to happen. Because otherwise, why is he in that match, right? Like,
Because Cassidy requested it, of course. There's your storyline.
If they put that as the main event, if we go off on Wednesday night, Jeff Jarrett standing tall, I'm done. I'm not going to watch AEW, and you guys can talk all the AEW segments. Like, I'm done.
I got to take a break. The main event. You got Kenny and Jericho. You got Winnipeg Zone, the main event.
Well, I'll tell you what. Central time, you'll be cutting that TV off at 7:10 because he's winning that title. That might open the show, actually.
I think it opens, yep.
Yeah, no, he's going to win that title. Because otherwise, like, first of all, you never needed this championship. We never needed it. But then you change it after, a year? Now you change the name of it.
Because of Shazam, of course, coming out soon. It levels up.
I didn't even get that when they were saying it. I missed the reference. I heard him say it. It's going to level up. Thank you, Excalibur. I don't know what you're saying there, but level up. He's winning the title.
Does he get confetti?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
It'll be red and silver confetti. He hates Jeff Jarrett, but he's there for heat. Every time he comes out there, he gets a reaction. You saw him on Wednesday.
We're doing a young person revolution AEW other than the oldest man alive.
Still looks good, brother.
All Out International title, Jarrett versus Nate. How about that? I'm bored with that. All Out Chicago, Nate and Double J International title.
I won't be there for that then. If he's going to be in the title, but it's happening, man. It's happening, and I think that. And just hats off to Orange Cassidy. Done a nice job.
Yep,
very nice job.
The title, if it does end next week. And I said this when he got the title. I'm like, cool. I'm glad that he got it. I don't think he's going to have a good run with it, the champ, and he has been spectacular. So hats off to Orange.
Elsewhere news and notes, Sports Illustrated says both AEW and WWE are interested in signing the 24-year-old Commander, who we saw on Dynamite last week. And just of note, WWE did reach out prior to Dynamite. They didn't see that and be like, oh, that guy's good. So he's still weighing his options.
I mean, good for him. It wouldn't be the first time it's happened with, you know, the way that Tony does things is interesting, where he allows people to kind of showcase themselves before they sign sometimes these deals. It's cost him before in the past, but so we'll see if it costs him again this time, being able to showcase what he can do in front of a live audience on national television, and if that catches the eye of WWE.
He'd make a fine Ring of Honor star. I think it'd be fine on Thursday nights. You know, like, more than a third of that roster in AEW can go to ROH, and it can be a viable brand. I really believe that. I know people are very wary of the Tony booking, and rightfully so. I understand that. I mean, I could poke holes in Triple H too. No one's perfect at it, but there's so many guys in the back and so many women in the back there that are just there for 2 or 3 minute matches and the pre-shows and Dark and Elevation in Orlando. Like, they should be in ROH and build a real brand, because all they want to do is work, man.
Yep.
I mean, could you imagine? This is what the business used to be when it was really hot. Imagine being away from your home 325 days a year. 325 days a year on the road, right? And, yeah. and not getting paid like the guys are, and the men and women are getting paid now. Now they're getting paid to sit home, and all they want to do is just find an indie show, get on AEW. They just want to work. Tony Khan's got a backlog, a lot of wrestlers that just want to work, and they don't get a chance to get TV time. And that's where I think ROH could really come in and help.
Finally, news and notes, WWE getting some national headlines. According to reports, the WWE is in talks with state gambling regulators to legalize betting on high-profile matches. They've already been talking with Michigan, Colorado, and Indiana.
Okay,
so go ahead.
I understand making this leap, because every other sports entity is, right? Like, there's money to be made, and you're trying to increase your revenue streams, especially if you're WWE and if you're a publicly traded company. This just screams, like, we're going to have a scandal at some point, right? Where someone starts leaking the results to someone.
Apparently, according to this, they would work with, like, the accounting firms that work with, like, the Oscars and things like that, because you can bet on the Academy Awards. So it'd be similar to that. So only a few people would know the results. The accounting firms would then hold them. The one thing that would affect wrestling is some of the match results would have to be locked in months prior, and then the betting would close hours before, and that's when the talent would find out who's winning and losing.
Well, I'm glad this is happening under Triple H and not Vince, because that fly-by-night booking nonsense that he used to do, where he tear up the scripts the day of and then try to rewrite them right before Raw and SmackDown, that wouldn't work. I would just say, okay, so they would have a storyline already written out, and then they would not tell the wrestlers until a few hours beforehand who's going to go over. That's BS. That's not true. I don't believe that at all. I do not.
I mean, that would prevent organic moments like Sammy winning the world title. Oh, wait. Here we are.
Keep that hermetically sealed and never open that envelope. Never. Never open up that envelope. That's and so the way it comes across to me, Gabe, it's like, okay, so you're going to bet on this. And so we're going to make sure the storylines are already locked in. No one will ever know except Triple H and his friends and the writers. And everybody else, they'll know. But then they will tell the wrestlers beforehand, day of the show, here's who's going to go over.
So what we're basically saying is, whatever the fans react to, it doesn't matter then. Because if you have to have your storylines planned out that far in advance, like, so you don't get to ever change course, like, you don't, Kofi Mania doesn't ever get to happen. Like, we don't get that moment, a moment that Bryan Danielson, by the way, recently said was his favorite of his WWE career.
And I guess,
of course, by the way, of course, it's just like super on brand for, like, Bryan Danielson's favorite moment to be where he gets pinned. Like, that's just so on brand for Bryan Danielson. Just, yeah, me putting somebody else over was fantastic. Right. That's my favorite moment of all time.
See?
I don't get, though, how they would pivot in, like, health situations. Like, the best actor, whoever's going to win best actor this weekend, if he breaks his leg, you know, a week ago, he can still win best actor at the Oscars. Like, in wrestling, if something gets hurt, like, how do you deal with that would be interesting.
Yeah, like, if you had this, like, But when, yeah, I don't know. You know, like well, when no, Cody Rhodes, Cody. When Cody hurt Cody. His pec, you yes. know, like, so whoever he was supposed to face at SummerSlam, like, okay, that's off the board now.
Well, you just, well, you're right. Well, if there's someone injured, you take the match off the board, just like a game yeah. or whatever. You just say you take it off the board. Like, if Cody got injured against Seth Rollins, hey, this is supposed to be, you know, minus 1,000 or whatever it is for Seth Rollins. Okay, well, he's injured, so take it off the board. Whatever it is.
But to me, you don't need to post these, to me, that early and often, I don't think. I mean, once, like, a match is set, yes. Like, so right now we're in the build for WrestleMania. So I think after Elimination Chamber, and we knew that Roman won, okay, now you can post Roman versus Cody if you're a casino. Like, that only at that point. Like, I don't think you would want to post that any... Because otherwise, you're also giving things away. You're not going to be posting it and available to bet until WWE gives you the go-ahead. Well, so I don't understand why you would need to do that so far in advance.
The hypothetical in the article I read was, prior to the Rumble, you bet on who's going to end Mania as champion. And then that closes once the Rumble starts. So obviously, sure. In that situation, Cody's a big favorite. You have Roman still there in the mix. So that's one way to do it.
Well, I know that that AEW and WWE have delved into this with DraftKings, where you need to build up who's going to win each match. If you get all the matches correct, you get into a pot and you have a chance to win $10,000, $15,000, because we've seen both companies advertise with DraftKings. So I wonder, can I do a parlay? Can I do like a Cody, Rhea Ripley, Asuka parlay? Can I do that? Is that how it works? Can I do that? I mean, and be able to win money that way, like I do any games.
Why not? I mean, if they get this through and it becomes, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do that.
Like Brock Lesnar will be plus 500, almost would be like a distant like underdog and almost wins, and I can get like $300 or. Can I do that? You just got back from Vegas, Kent. Is there anything on the board? Was there a
Seth I did not Rollins see.
Paul? Was there a Paul Rollins up there?
I did not see Paul versus Rollins when I was at the sports book in Las Vegas. But maybe coming to a sports book near you, WWE gambling.
Yeah, betting on individual matches. Like Soul Brother number 5 says, so what happens if it's a double DQ? So that to me, that's like taking it off the board, right? If it's a double DQ, you get your money back.
Yeah, it's just like if the line is 3 in an NFL game, you just get your money back. And
or
the
is that like an option? Is it like soccer, where you can bet on a side or a draw, and that's essentially what that would be?
Well, sure,
This is not a bad idea. I know that Tim Hefty says this. No, I think it's a good idea, actually, because if you could bet on Survivor, which has been taped 6 months in advance, you could bet on WWE. I don't think this is a bad idea. It gets more people involved.
It's only a bad idea if they have to, like, try to plan something out months in advance and then have to stick to that storyline. That, to me, is the only way it becomes a bad idea. What do we got this week for match of the week? Or are we just going to all say the 60-man plus overtime Iron Man match and end the show?
Yeah. I mean, the other one I'll throw out there, though, is the Street match. Like, House of Black finally getting a win. Like, that match was really fun.
Yeah, I would say that 60-minute match, it actually was more than that, 66 minutes, right? I mean, yeah. We got more than what we bargained for. That match was so good, guys. We know that that's just a blip on the radar for AEW because they'll try to top it with something else. But that match was great. And actually, I will throw in Mox. I thought that Mox and Hangman
was fantastic.
For someone who's watched a lot of Texas Death Matches, or as they call it, Texas Death, that was the best Texas Death Match I've ever seen. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. And this company at times wants to turn into Game Changer Wrestling. It certainly did. I mean, it certainly did. It turned into Game Changer quickly. But again, we go back to the blood. Imagine for 6 weeks, Moxley doesn't bleed. And then it happens in the pay-per-view. Now you have sympathy on the baby face. Now you're like, oh, God, he's really ripped up. But I have felt nothing for Moxley because he bleeds all the time. That meant nothing to me. So I thought that was great. Thought that Claudio against AR Fox was very good on ROH.
What was that? What now? I think my headphones weren't working.
AR Fox, Claudio, ROH.
My guy, AR Fox.
It was good. It was a banger.
I love this chain. I love the shame of being an Honor Club member. You get a free t-shirt, at least a koozie that, like, for being.
I wasn't going to do it, man. Now I've turned into Broitz. Now after the show, I got to be looking for ROH Honor Club. I can't help it. Rick Abani and Coleman are a great 1-2 punch. That's a great booth.
It is a great booth. I enjoy the ROH pay-per-views with those guys.
Anything on SmackDown or Raw that we missed? No?
No, just a bunch of more wonky Triple H finishes.
Yeah, nothing really stood out there.
Yeah, they're treading water before Mania. You know, nothing super special.
Shout out to Revolution, another great pay-per-view. And if I told you Samoa Joe and Wardlow was the worst on that card, that's pretty good because B+, everything else was really, really solid, I thought.
Yeah, it was a great show, for sure. And again, that's what we've come to expect out of AEW. I'm hopeful that they can kind of pick up where they did right about this point last year, when they really started hitting their stride leading into Double or Nothing. We'll see if they can do that now, since they decided not to put their champion on live television this past week. But he will be on live television next week. You know, QT Marshall, standing tall at the end of your show after a big, great pay-per-view. Probably not the route you want to go, but that's just me.
Hey, he's synonymous with a champion. Can't say the same thing about his faction. His faction is
there
not
was
even
silence nothing. When he came out. There is nothing when he came out.
Any of his guys, like you think Solo is going to win a championship anytime soon? All his guys? Nope. Not even close.
But we are on that road to WrestleMania. And we're going to have plenty of storylines to be told on SmackDown and Raw and AEW next week. And we're going to all talk about it right here, same time next week on GKW.